Welcome back to Sports Talk with Vince Ferrar. I'm Jimmy Himes. We're pleased now to be joined by Jesse Smithy of Five Star Preps. Jesse, how are you doing?
Doing well. How are you guys today?
Doing fantastic. Hey, thank you for joining us. Sure. Want to ask you about a sophomore point guard at Alcoa, Carly Hayworth. She started the season right at the start of the year with an emergency appendectomy, and now she's a district MVP. Tell us her story.
Yeah, it's an unbelievable turnaround. And Carly is a player that I got to see a little bit as a freshman last year and was really impressed with her just unflappability. She was tenacious. She was scrappy, could really handle the ball well for a freshman point guard playing varsity games. And I think I watched her play against Maryville, which was a state tournament team last year, and was really impressed. And so I'd been following her career and trajectory and everything she kind of put out on social media, and just happened to see her put out a post back in, I think, early November in a hospital bed getting ready for surgery, and going, oh man, you know, what's happened? And start to learn she's had an emergency appendectomy, and here I am thinking, okay, well, she's probably going to miss a large part of the season. Well, she came back in 2 weeks. So, and to go from hospital bed emergency surgery in early November to District 4 AA MVP in roughly 3 months' time is an unbelievable turnaround for her, and really speaks to her competitiveness and just a want to be out on the floor. And I think that comes through in her play. So one of the big things that was in her favor, though, Jimmy, was that her appendix did not rupture. It was extremely inflamed. So that allowed for a quicker turnaround time. And also, Alcoa didn't start its season until first week of December because of COVID precautions. So some things kind of lined up for her, even though it was a bad thing that happened to her. There was some time for her to heal and get back on the court. And Alcoa has been one of the hotter teams in 2021 for sure.
What are the strengths of her game?
Yeah, I mean, we talked a little bit about her ball handling. That was her ball handling and her effort and energy were the very first things that stood out to me. Again, as a freshman, to have that type of mentality on the varsity level, you don't see it often unless they're a special talent. Oftentimes, a kid who's a freshman handling the point guard duties are going to take its lumps or her lumps and turn the ball over quite a bit. And Carly just seemed unfazed by the moment and by the setting. So now this year, as her responsibilities with the team have grown, she's taken on more of a scoring load, because last year her older sister Destiny was the leader of that team. And of course she's on the University of Cumberland's roster playing college basketball. And so Carly's taken on a little bit more of a leadership role in scoring duties and vocal duties as well. And so her and a number of other players on that team have really made a formidable roster to handle in Class AA.
Jesse, unlike Ernest Udev Jr. from Dr. Phillips High School in Orlando, when you dunk a basketball and shatter the backboard, yours goes in, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I've just been here, remember all the times that I shattered basketball backboards, which was never. I think the only time I could dunk is when we lowered the goal down in our driveway down to 7 or 8 feet, and we could dunk on it. But yeah, it's been a while since we've seen a backboard crashed, right, and shattered. Those were Daryl Dawkins. Those were Shaquille O'Neal type of feats. And then with the modern technology and basketball and the way that the rims are break away and all the precautions that were put into how they build basketball goals, you don't see that very much. I know Zion Williamson has hurt a few rims and disfigured a few rims, but we don't see backboard shatter much anymore. So that was kind of nice to see in a way. It was kind of oddly relaxing and soothing to see that glass fall in slow motion.
Hey, there's been a lot of great performances in some of those district tournaments, and hit on some of the highlights, the things that have stood out to you about what you've seen so far.
Yeah, we're still early in the playoffs, Vince, and for Division I teams, we're still in the district tournament phase. And so for the most part, we've seen some play-in games and teams jockeying to get into the district semifinals, which allows them to move on to the region tournament play. I would say the Cinderella story that we've seen so far happened last night. 8th-seeded Carnes is in the District 3 AAA boys semifinals now. That means they move on to the Region 2 AAA tournament. And that was a team that I think it had a lot of contact tracing, a lot of game cancellations. I think they might have entered the postseason with 6 or 7 wins. And as an 8 seed out of, I believe, a 19 district, or might even be an 18 district. I can't remember right off the top of my head, but they're in the cellar. And then they've beaten Powell at Powell, and they've beaten Campbell County at Campbell County. And they've got three class of 2023 players that have really stepped up to the plate here in the postseason and led that way. So I texted Lee Henson, the longtime coach at Carnes, last night and congratulated him and got a little bit of info from that team. And they're ecstatic that they're making their 8th consecutive region tournament appearance when they did not expect to this year, I don't think.
Jesse, what's attendance look like at these playoff games?
Yeah, it still kind of varies place by place and county by county, Jimmy, and every school system has a different set of guidelines that they're used to and that they're using. I think Knox County is probably the most strict out of those here locally. And again, I think that goes to the sheer number of high school basketball teams that they have in their jurisdiction. So a little easier for some of the remote counties to be able to allow more people in because they're not overseeing as many games. So it's still kind of varying place by place and starting to get an idea of what the state tournaments are going to look like and the reduced amount of fans that are going to be allowed at Tennessee Tech, where the Division II state tournaments will be, and then MTSU, where Division I will be, and just the media restrictions, and they are going to the nth degree to try to protect not only these players and coaches and their families, but the people that attend those universities as well.
And if folks want to see the all-district teams and the postseason schedules, they can go to your website, correct?
Correct, yeah. We're updating those constantly by the night and still waiting on some all-district teams. Those are selected by area coaches and sent in to us. And so you can go to 5starpreps.com, and that'll be right there on the main page. I think it's the number 10 story, that kind of that 10th box that's on our homepage. And so that's free for anybody to read, whether you're a member of 5starpreps.com or not. You should be able to access those and see all the players that are being highlighted here this postseason.
Are you evaluating some of the quarterback battles at high schools?
We are. We're still doing our QB1 series, and mm-hmm. Spring football is right around the corner. And so this is our third year of doing the QB1 series. And so this week we've highlighted what's going on at Gibbs High School. And they got a unique situation where they got a guy that's going to be their QB1 that played a little bit and got in some spot starts last year and put up record-setting numbers. So he's kind of a new quarterback, but he's not. And so we kind of detail what he brings to the table. And we also touch base with William Blount this week and their situation. And it looks like their quarterback duties are going to stay in the Clemmer family for the next couple of years and maybe even beyond that. There's a incoming freshman with the last name Clemmer that plays a little quarterback. So we talked with Coach Shadowin, out of William Blount about that. And so there's still about 5 or 6 more schools that we're going to highlight on our website going into spring practice. So really appreciate everybody who's checking those out.
Vince and I visited with Paul Biancardi, a national high school recruiting analyst for basketball, and he said the best point guard in the country is Kennedy Chandler, who's playing for the, I guess it's Sunrise in Kansas. Does that surprise you?
Right. It doesn't. He got a lot of name recognition last year, and rightfully so, and was a Mr. Basketball finalist, and then took his game to a more elite program, so to say, nationally. And so as he's gone around and played some more premier teams, his stock has continued to go up. And you got to give him, that kid, credit for taking that jump. And it's always hard to leave the city of Memphis and where you grow up and people have certain expectations for you and to leave a lot of your peers behind and just think about your career. But it seems to have been a successful move for Kennedy Chandler. And I know Tennessee fans are excited about that young man. And again, I still didn't get to see a huge sample size of his game last year, but from what I've seen on social media, he seems to be a little bit more assertive this year, a little bit more confident. Not that he wasn't last year, but just in the game that I saw, he didn't portray that. But what I've seen on social media out of him this year has been pretty special.
Well, Jesse, we appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us, and folks can continue to follow your coverage of the high school basketball playoffs as they are underway right now. Thanks, Jesse.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you. Jesse Smith, the five-star prep.